commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth and worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, and who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. The title of the message tonight is Man Rules, God Overrules. Daniel had been faithful to his God, and a couple Sunday nights past, I preached a little bit on Daniel, and because of his faithfulness to God, he had been placed into a position of honor. He'd actually served. Now he's serving under his second different king. Earlier, when you look at Daniel, he didn't want to eat the king's meat, he was probably a young man. By now, he's probably an older man, maybe in his 70s about this time. So, been some span of time take place, so it's this position, especially since he was a Jew. It was even though he'd been there that many years, he was still looked at as a foreigner as far as the other princes and people in position under the king's rule under Darius at this time. He was a Hebrew living in Babylon. And of course, jealousies arose because of that, and because he was set above them, he was above the princes and those that were in charge. And so there was some jealousies, and they devised a plot. They decided that they couldn't find anything. Matter of fact, they said that they knew. They said, "We're not going to be able to find anything against this Daniel. No, there's not going to be any dirt or anything that we can get on him. Except the only way we're going to be able to do something with him, it's going to have to be in regards to his faithfulness to his God." I mean, they knew Daniel had a testimony, in other words, in the land that he lived in. And so they tricked Darius. Darius wasn't thinking, and they talked to him. They said, "Hey, I don't know what their excuse was to do this, but they said, why don't you let's sign a decree that nobody can pray to any other God or any other person other than you." You know, this probably played on his pride a little bit. "Other than you for 30 days. Nobody can pray to any god." They probably believed in other gods. "Nobody can pray to any god or any other man except for you for 30 days. And the king signed that decree. And so, I think they knew that Daniel wasn't going to waver. This is something that they knew. Now think about this testimony. Here's what we look at today, what we call the world, the people that are not saved. They don't know the true God. Here's the world looking at Daniel. And the world says, you know what, this guy is not going to waver. Now, a lot of times, you know, we've heard this testimony ourselves from people that, listen, people, the world is looking. If you're claiming that you're a Christian and that you're living for God and you're following Christ or you're a believer in God, the world is looking at you to see if you're lying or not. I mean, to see if you're going to live what you claim that you are. And this world right here, these guys already knew it. They weren't trying to trick Daniel. They knew they could get him right here. It wasn't a case of where we're gonna put this out and Daniel's gonna fall, he's gonna fail, he's gonna quit praying. That wasn't what they were trying to do. They were trying to get Daniel put to death. We know Satan's at the bottom of this here because of his testimony, but they're trying to get Daniel put to death because of their jealousies, and they knew without a shadow of a doubt that he would not waver, that he was gonna pray to his God three times a day, just like he'd always done. I'm telling you what, that was a testimony before the world right there, that if we had a testimony that strong, that the world knew, the world out there looking said, there's no way that guy right there is going to change. There's no way. When I look out my door on Sunday morning, if that man's not in church, he's sick or he's dead. I mean, how about that testimony right there? He's sick, he's dead, he's going to worship God. What a testimony that to have in the world, and it's a testimony that everybody ought to have today. This is a political thing going on. I was thinking about this when I was writing it down. I said, you know, no dirt, no scandal, no nothing. Boy, that's a testimony on the political scene that we're looking at today. Daniel would have been an oddball for sure. They wouldn't have had nothing they would have been able to say to him right there. But I think this is a testimony that every Christian ought to have, that when it comes to our faithfulness to God, that we know that without a shadow of a doubt. I like somebody shared a post, I can't remember who it was, and I shared it too because I liked it, and it said that church ought to be the reason that you miss everything else. Now, that ought to be the excuse for missing everything else, right? Y'all with me? Got a pulse? We got a pulse out here tonight? Huh? We'll hook everybody up to a machine where we can just at least hear the heartbeat. You know, I'll just know. I'll have a little speaker up here. Boom, 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 boom. You know, probably some of them will be like, boom, boom, boom. That'll be the heartbeat. You know, you got to get, let's see if you got a respiratory failure here. But okay, you're with me. Just help me out a little bit. That at least I'll know you're alive, you know. So the faithfulness to his God. And so, you know, and I believe that once Darius knew, when they went and they said to Darius, you know what, this Daniel right here, boy, he's not listening to your decree. I think old Darius knew. Said he was mad with himself up there in verse 14. Mad with himself. And I think that, you know what it was? He said, you know what, man, them guys, that's what they're doing. Sometimes you see through people, you know. I think he saw through them. He knew what the deal was. He knew there was some jealousies right there. And you know what? And just think about Daniel. How easy would it have been to say, okay, well, I'm just not going to pray for 30 days. Hey, there's plenty of people that's claiming that they're Christians today that don't pray for 30 days. Huh? Just to lay off praying for 30 days? Or he could have, he always had a habit. The Jews, and there's some Old Testament scriptures, and I didn't look them up, but the Jews were actually supposed to face, they would face back towards wherever Jerusalem was, wherever they were at, whichever direction they were at away from Jerusalem, they would face that way. And what he would do, he always had a habit of opening up the windows, and he would get down there and pray. I don't think he was doing that so, hey, everybody look at me, I'm praying, but that's just what he wanted to look that way if it's a sunny day or whatever. He looked towards Jerusalem. So you know what? He didn't alter anything, like try to hide what he was doing. He could have done that, right? He could have said, well, I'm just going to leave the blinds closed today, and I'll just get down here and pray or quit praying for 30 days. It would have been an easy thing to do, but he had that testimony that he was faithful. So here's the thing. You know, man makes rules, and man makes laws, but God's in charge. You know, God's in charge. Listen, man, we look at what's going on in the world today. Listen, I think we ought to do right. You know, I try not to get to, you don't want to get, I don't like to get political at all from the pulpit here because I'm here to preach about Jesus Christ. You know, I think Christians, we ought to do the right thing. You know, pray and vote for who God, you know, how God leads us, you know, to pray, to vote in those sites. We ought to do those things, but don't flip out about what's going on in the world because God's in charge. God's got so many people, man, they're about to blow a gasket out. Man, I'm ready to go get blood pressure pills and hand them out to people that just worrying themselves sick about what's going on. I got another church I preach at sometimes and hadn't been in a while. And the one guy that always calls me, man, this guy is jacked. He's wound up about politics. Man, he's worried. What are we going to do, man? I said, we're going to trust Jesus, man. That's what we're going to trust. So God, man makes rules and laws and God's in charge. And I think we ought to do the right thing, but God's ultimately in charge. And man may think that he rules, but see, God ultimately overrules. And that's the thing we're going to look at. We're really going to look at faith tonight, you know, mostly. So the very first point is we see the powerless king. As I said, Daniel's enemies, they watched him, and after the decree was made, and like I said, there's no doubt in my mind. They knew, they said, man, cha-ching, we got it in the bag because he's not going to change. We know it. They weren't watching to see if he wasn't going to pray. They were just watching to wait for him to pray so they could go into the king and say, hey, here's the guy that's breaking the law. He's breaking the law. Now listen, you know, we got God's laws. We're Christians, right? We got God's laws, right? And there's man's laws. And I'm going to tell you what, in our own country, we have laws that are contrary to God's laws. Which one are you going to obey? You know, we got to obey God's laws. And so Daniel, listen, he was going to pray. And he prayed three times a day, window open, facing Jerusalem. And you know what? They were right. Daniel didn't change. The law. Now, here's the deal. The law of man didn't affect his relationship with God. The law of man did not affect Daniel's relationship with God in any way, shape, or form. He didn't even alter his relationship with God because of the laws of man. He knew that God was in charge. He ought to know that God was in charge of all the things that's going on already in his life. Remember, because by now, his buddies had already been thrown in the fiery furnace. Make sure I'm telling you the right thing. I think that had happened by now. They'd already got thrown in the fiery furnace, so they knew, you know, he knew that God overruled in that deal right there. And so they told Darius, and Darius was mad at himself. He knew he had been manipulated by Daniel's enemies. That's kind of an odd law that the king could make a law, but then the king couldn't undo the deal. You know, like you can't alter the law, but he's the one that made it. He's the king, right? It's kind of a crazy law right there. I'm glad we don't have that deal right here in our country, man. If they make a law, we can get that thing changed eventually if you get the right people in office. Amen. And so they had this law. At least men couldn't change the laws, what they said. Now, there's a parallel. Everything, you know, you can always see Jesus Christ in everything in the Bible. Old Testament, New Testament, we can find Christ. And we can find a parallel between what God did in the New Testament or is doing in the New Testament and what God did or doing in the Old Testament as well. And so we look at this. So what condemned Daniel was the law. The law said you couldn't pray. But he went ahead and prayed anyway. Now, and that's all the law, when we get to the law basically anyway, all the law ever does is condemn in this sense. Now, it's a guide, but it condemns us because we never obey the law totally. That's what we always break it somewhere. That's what the law does. And now, I know law, generally speaking, and even from God, and even laws of man, a lot of times are put in place for our protection, trying to protect us. They're getting carried away, but they try to protect us. But every law has been broken by man. Every law, you know, is. And so the Bible says that the wages of sin, and sin is what? Is breaking God's law. That's sin. The wages of sin is death, and that's the law of God. And so the wages of breaking the law of Darius also was death for anybody considered. That was the wages of that. Now, when we think about Jesus and when the Jews wanted to put Jesus to death, they told Pilate, we have a law, and by our law, he ought to die. Okay, so by the law, he did die. Now, the difference between and Daniel technically broke the law of man. Jesus didn't. Now, they had to lie about Jesus. That's the only difference. Jesus never broke the law. They had to lie about Jesus and said that he broke the law. He actually didn't do it. But for what we understand is, it was the law. This is what they said. The law is what's going to cause somebody to die. And so what happened, even though it was a lie, he did die. Jesus did die. So they said, hey, we put Jesus to death. This is it. That was man's rule. But guess what there? God overruled. Because on the third day, he resurrected. He resurrected from the grave. So God overruled in that situation as well. It was the law of man was superseded by a greater authority and a greater power, and that was the power of the resurrection, the overruling of God in that case right there. So in Daniel's case, this is what Daniel did. Daniel just said, you know what, I'm going to pray and I'm not going to change and I'm not going to be affected in my relationship with God by the laws of man. He says, let the law of the Medes and the Persians be carried out and see what God will do. And see what God will do. That's what he did. He let the law, you know, be carried out. So he was placed in verse 12. It says, a den of lions. You know, you hear preachers sometime. I probably shared this with you before. I remember he was an evangelist at the time. He's a pastor now if he's still living. And I remember it just, I don't even remember what the rest of the message was, but I remember this one thing he told me. He said, you know what? Always say, he said, it was a den of lions. It wasn't a lion's den. He said, I wouldn't mind going in a lion's den as long as there wasn't any lions in it. So you could have a lion's den and not have no lions, but a den of lions means the lions are in there. So he said, that's the difference of being put in a den of lions and a lion's den. And so they put him in the den of lions. And it says that a stone was laid upon the mouth of it, and a seal upon that stone. Thousands of years later, what happened when Jesus was put in the tomb? Stone rolled at the mouth. There was a seal put on the stone. The seal was put on there to make sure nobody got Daniel out. The seal was put on there to make sure nobody, see the parallel, that nobody got Jesus out. They were worried about that taking place. And so when Jesus' case, when they came on the third day, God had overruled. The seal didn't stop him. Listen, death didn't stop him. The stone at the mouth of the tomb didn't stop him. The seal on the tomb didn't stop him. I mean, nothing happened right there. You know, later on in the New Testament, remember Peter? Peter was locked in a cell. He was chained between two guards. Now, this is locked up, buddy. They're so worried about Peter getting out. They got him in a prison cell with the door shut, the jail door shut. Plus, there was another gate on the outside that was shut. Got him chained between two guards. They're going to execute him the next day. Man's rule. Got, you know, man's law. Angels showed up. Said the chains fell off. Them guards didn't even wake up. God had them in a deep sleep. Peter even said, it says there that the gate just swung open of its own accord. The gate swung open and went on and out. And he went on out and went, remember, he went to the house and banged on the door. And so what happened there was, it was an angel appeared, locked cell, man's rule. During the night, that, like I said, that angel came and God overruled. Man proposes, somebody said, and God disposes. That's the power. That's the power of God. The same thing with Daniel in Daniel's case, and we know and read what happened right there. So we see the second point is the power of God. Darius said in verse 16, the king, he said, the God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Now, that's a positive statement. And, you know, it sounds like faith in God on Darius's behalf. I believe Darius had observed Daniel's behavior, his faith. He'd seen his faith in God. There's no way a godly man like Daniel. Daniel's one of the couple of men, Joseph, I think, and Daniel, there's nothing negative said about them in the Bible. Daniel, he observed his life, and so he knew the faith that Daniel had to impact him somewhat. But it sounds like, and he says, the God whom thou servest continually, he will, that's a positive, a will, not maybe or perhaps, he said he will deliver thee. Sounds like he's got faith in God, but does he have faith in God? You know, a lot of people say that they have faith. I said this last week or week before. The biggest worry warts I know, and it's maybe because mostly I know Christians, but the biggest worry warts I know are Christians. Worrying themselves sick over problems, of things that go on in life. But look what it said in verse 18. Darius said, he said with his mouth, he said, the God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee, up there in verse 16. And then they put him in there. And then it says in verse 18, the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Now, this wasn't like a spiritual fast where, you know, he had planned to do it. No, what it was is he was worried sick and he couldn't eat, so he didn't eat anything. Neither were instruments of music. In other words, normally he had some music played in the evening, kind of calm down, just relax, enjoy that little concert, you know. Didn't have any music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. He couldn't sleep. How many of you wake up or don't even get to sleep, get in bed? Huh? And you flip, and you flop. And boy, it's amazing what you can think about. It's amazing the stuff that can get on your mind while you're laying in bed. This doesn't sound like somebody that's exercising faith, does it? If he really had faith, you know, God's going to deliver you. I'm going to the house, having a concert, having a dinner. I'm going to lay down and sleep like a baby, and I'll see you in the morning, Dan. No worries. See, he said he had faith. And there's a lot of people in churches. This is what I'm saying, the thing of faith. We say that we have faith, but we worry, 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 worry. It's not the same. It's not faith. Sweating and fretting all night long. I tell you, I believe Daniel got more rest than he did. Huh? They might have had to holler down, hey, Daniel, wake up. For crying out loud, here comes the king. Huh? Got a lion propped up there laying on one of them. You know, you can imagine if a lion wasn't going to bite you, they'd be pretty comfortable. I mean, you know, fur, soft, man. Lay up on there, prop your feet up on one. If you get cold, drag a line up over top of you. Huh? You sleep like a baby in there. A three-lion night, you know. If it got real cold, just pile them up, man. purring. You know that purring? That'd be like, you know, like a cat does. It'd be like a massage. You know, they'd be doing. I believe Daniel was sleeping. I believe he rested. I don't think he had anything to worry about. You know, is God able? Of course he's able. We know that. But do we believe it, really believe it, when it comes to, because we always got faith. I got a lot of faith for you. You got a problem, don't worry about God, you're going to take care of it. When I got a problem, now I got to exercise faith. See? And it says that he sent an angel. Daniel hollered back up there and said, yeah, my God sent an angel to close the lion's mouth. An angel closed his mouth. Do you believe that there's angels? The Bible says there's angels. It says that we've entertained them unawares, so that means if we saw one, we didn't know it. I've had some strange things happening. Huh? Now, does God always have to deliver us with an angel? No. God does. I believe God still uses angels to some, you know, in cases. I believe that he doesn't need angels. He can work through man. Doesn't need man either, but he does use them both. Sometimes he uses us or sometimes he uses somebody else. He uses both in his miracle. But we think about this, how is it all going to come together? How does God really work? Or what's going to, you know, because we think, well, listen, God can do anything. God, you know, God can, but he has limited himself by his own words. In other words, there's things that he won't do unless certain other things, conditions are met. And it's not we got to earn a favor and this and that. But it has to do in the realm of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, that's the faith chapter in the Bible, Hebrews 11. And it says there that through faith, listen to this, that men and women subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Faith is an essential element in the lives of the saints. It said through faith this happened. When it said stop the mouths of lions, we knew that specifically, there was other saints that we know that are unnamed that were thrown to the lions in the arenas and that. Some of them, the mouths were stopped, some of them not. But we know in Daniel's case, the lions, so we know that's reference to him, sure enough. The question arises. Would Daniel have been delivered if he had not had faith? If he hadn't had faith in God, would he have been delivered? Hebrews 11 says that through faith, all these things happen. I believe that implies that if we don't have faith, these things won't happen. There are certain things that are not going to take place. It says all through faith. If you study Hebrews 11, everything was done through faith. On one occasion, when Jesus healed two blind men, he asked them, he said, believe ye that I am able to do this, about healing their blindness. And they said unto him, yea, Lord. And Jesus touched them and said, according to your faith, be it unto you. That would imply that if they hadn't had faith, that they would have not been healed. According to your faith, be it unto you. So think about what's not getting done in the area of faith. That we have to have faith in God. And it's not for, we put faith in what we can accomplish without God. You know, for certain things that we know we can get done. Listen, it's for bigger things. And the rest of the story, and I'll read that in a minute, but you know, the reason that it tells us how they threw those families in there, they threw those men that had accused Daniel, and they threw their families in, and the lions had the mastery over them. In other words, they went after them before they even hit the ground. That's to tell us that it wasn't because the lions weren't hungry that Daniel survived all night long. And it wasn't saying that God approved of that or that Daniel even approved of that. That was the law of the Medes and the Persians that threw those people down in that den of lions, the families and all. That wasn't God's doing. That was Darius, the king's. That was his doing. Doesn't say it approved or disapproved either way, but I'd say it wasn't an approval. So we see the power of God. But the power of God has got to work through faith. It does work through faith. See, if we don't have faith, how's God going to work through us? We have to have faith. And then the third thing, we see the proclamation of Darius in verse 25 through 27. This is a great proclamation. This is Darius, and we're still wondering about his faith. It says, then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, languages that dwell on all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree. Now here we go with another law, right? Look how the faith of Daniel changed the law of the land. That in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. He didn't say before my God, but he said before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, positive statement, and steadfast forever in his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He knew some things. He delivered and rescueth and worketh signs and wonders in heaven and earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. I mean, man, he made a decree, this decree. So, you know, it begs the question. It makes you wonder about this. See, I think when you go back to Nebuchadnezzar, which was the king before him, I believe that Nebuchadnezzar eventually had saving faith in God just by the things that, you know, I think he trusted God. His faith was weak, and we'll give him credit because he doesn't know what we know. He didn't have a Bible. He didn't have the permanent Holy Spirit like we do. He didn't have that. And he got lifted up in pride, which is our biggest problem anyway. He got lifted up in pride, and then God made him eat like an animal for 7 years. He fed out in a field, and the dew was on him and all that. And then he came back, and then he had a different opinion. His attitude changed. He learned something, I guess, what I'm trying to say. I believe old Nebuchadnezzar got saved. Now, with Darius, I don't know. I can't say. Did he personally have an experience with God? He said the right things now. And let's give him credit. I mean, listen, the fact that he stayed up all night, and he didn't want any music, and he couldn't eat, worrying himself sick, he would fit right in any church I know of today. He would fit in there good with all the rest of the Christians or people that are saying they're good. So did he have a personal experience with God? I don't know. He certainly made bolder statements than the average Christian makes today about God. And so I can't say either way. I wouldn't, if somebody wanted to claim that he was saved, I wouldn't argue with them. You know, I can't argue with it. But you know, people can be impressed with God and not have a personal experience, and that's a good question for folks. Are you impressed with God, or do you have a personal experience? I said a few minutes ago, Satan, of course, was at the bottom of the whole thing. Because who was the testimony in this land at this time? You know, God wanted for sure. Daniel wasn't there by accident. We go all the way back to the Babylonian captivity. There was a couple million Jews. Of all the couple million Jews, Daniel and his buddies got chosen, or were some of the ones that were taken into captivity, and then they got chosen to be brought to the king under Nebuchadnezzar's command. They got brought to king and trained and all the... None of that was by accident. And so because they had a testimony of the true God in Babylon, God wanted that. And so Satan's at the bottom of the attack trying to get that one testimony out. But isn't it great to know that if you're in the will of God, And you've got a testimony before men in this world, I don't think Satan can't get you. Huh? I mean, you're an immortal being. I keep thinking about that. Man, I don't want to quit doing anything for God. I want God to know, hey God, you can still use me. You can still use me and you know, keep using me. Listen, and then because of his testimony, nothing changes when we cave in, trust me. Nothing changes in this world when we came in. But because of the testimony, this king made a decree, and guess what? All of the Jews in the land, there was a lot of them, all the Jews were permitted to worship their God, the true God, the way they wanted to worship, without fear of persecution. No, matter of fact, they had a law that if anybody hassled them, they would probably get thrown into the lion's den with the rest. So, I mean, what a testimony, the power of God, having faith in God. The man of God in the will of God is immortal until his work on earth is finished. Man, that's just as sure. I mean, they've already tried to kill Daniel. They've already tried to kill these guys off over and over and over again. Couldn't get to it. So God still had some work for Daniel to do, because after this section, you keep going. He starts writing prophecy about what's going to happen in the tribulation period. He had all that written down. He wrote all that. God revealed all that to him. Man, I mean, just think, who does God reveal his plans to? It's men and women of faith. That's who he reveals them. You go to John on the Isle of Patmos. I mean, he was on the Isle of Patmos. He was on it was a prison island. I mean, you weren't locked up in a building, but you're on an island you couldn't get off of it. He was locked up on Patmos, for his testimony, the Bible says, for his testimony about God. So he didn't waver, whatever it was. They probably didn't want him to preach, and he preached. He didn't waver on that. But guess what? So God revealed, gave him the revelation. He got to see visions. He got to see things. He saw the glorified Christ standing in front of him. This is who God shows things to, reveals things to, reveals his will to his people that have faith. Daniel and they were protected supernaturally. He was protected supernaturally. The Jewish remnant during tribulation, there's a parallel there too, being protected supernaturally. The key to the whole message, though, was really just the faith that Daniel had, having that faith in God. It produced prayer. This is, we've been talking about prayer. We've done Wednesday night Bible study. We've done a whole thing on prayer for months. We're watching Harold Vaughn's videos, The Protocol to Prayer, on Wednesday night. Now we're started watching that, the video. Everything's about prayer. But, the key to prayer is really faith, too. Because if you don't have faith in God, you don't have any compulsion to pray. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. I mean, not wasn't a mealy mouth, now I lay me down to sleep prayer. He got on his knees, opened his windows, spent some serious time in prayer because he really believed God is going to work. And God's going to work through faith. When you really believe that God's going to work, when you really believe it, you will pray. What if you don't pray? Let me think about it. What if Daniel hadn't prayed 3 times a day? What if he hadn't had faith? But see, what happened was because he had faith, he prayed. See, he didn't pray and then had faith. He had faith and then he prayed. That it produces that. Prayer is a byproduct of having faith in God. Really, it just produces it. And then that produces the power of God in your life. And that produces the power of God in events and circumstances in the world. God's people, having that kind of faith. It's not any more different, like I said today. And look what we have. We got the Word of God. Man, I love that. We've got the Holy Spirit, permanent possession, Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Just think what we could do if we combine this with faith and prayer. What could we do? I mean, just it's unbelievable what we could do. The Sunday school class, Brian's got us going on what's the name of that book, Brian? Share Jesus Without Fear. Fear keeps popping up, this word. Why people won't share. Well, they're afraid of this and afraid of that and afraid of this. My Bible tells me that God, God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. So we don't have fear. So when you have faith, looks like a faith problem in sharing, witnessing for God. That looks like a faith problem too. Those all the verses that we have that said he would put words in our mouth. All those things. I mean, it's a faith problem too. But it doesn't, we don't have, what do we have to fear? Fear, isn't fear the opposite of faith? Fear's like an opposite of faith. Unbelief, we go along with along there. So, fear no evil. We don't have, listen, I know there's plenty of evil out there, but we don't have anything to fear because of God. If we really, really put our faith and trust in God. Amen? All right, Paul, come on up. We're going to have an invitation.